Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Thank God it's Friday so I can finally exhaust my endless well of stupid things for you guys to throw back in my face. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike, as always, now joining us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour as she's in the middle of WNBA training camp. Got a great guest list for you today. Ramon Foster, former Pittsburgh Steelers guard, now doing a great job on the radio in Nashville. Going to join us to talk about locker room finds and his former teammate Alejandro Villanueva. George Sedano, our friend and ESPN reporter out at ESPN Los Angeles. Talk about the Lakers, Field Yates, Earl Watson. It's going to be a great show. But before we get anywhere, before we get to the struggling Lakers, before we get to some rookie quarterback superlatives that we've got dialed up for you guys today, I got to address the elephant in the room. So yesterday I did, in fact, make that slip of the tongue and confuse the Milwaukee Bucks with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was a real thing that my brain decided to do and then immediately shut off so that I would forget it. It was a coping mechanism. But I have to own up to it. And so I figure today, before we get started, in honor of the viral video going around the internet of Sam Darnold very poorly drawing different NFL mascots, including the Carolina Panther, I would come clean and say that I decided to try and draw what would be the Tampa Bay Buck Anear. It is the Milwaukee Bucks logo. I tried to give it the little Buccaneer hat for everyone watching on ESPN Plus right now. If you're not, at Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter. I've done my best to try and atone for this. I'm just trying to ride the wave on this one, guys. This is how my brain works. I told you, I am my father's son. And so now that we've gotten through this, now that I've owned up to it, hopefully we can all move on from this peacefully. That's my hope, at least. We'll see if it gets there, because I have a feeling when Chiney comes back and I show her this drawing, we're going to restart all of this all over again. That's just the way that this is supposed to go. But in the meantime, I don't know if you guys heard, things aren't going very well out in Los Angeles.
Anthony Davis has a history of injuries. He just got back, and here he is out again.
Seeding doesn't matter for the Lakers. They know if they can get healthy, the type of team they put on the floor is a championship team.
The Lakers got absolutely bodied last night by the Clippers. That was about as ugly as you can get. The Clippers sweep the series season for the Lakers. And going from bad to worse, we saw Anthony Davis, who now, just after coming back from injury, just after getting his eighth game since missing 9 weeks with a calf strain, you get Anthony Davis that in the middle of that game appeared to roll his ankle, although Anthony Davis cleared up what this was about. We'll hear from AD in a second on what caused him to leave the game. But as we look at this now, the one question I found myself asking was, all right, are we done expecting things from the Lakers this year? Like, we got to downgrade this severely, right? The way I've likened it, for anyone that's seen the movie Armageddon, and if you haven't, the absolute classic starring Bruce Willis as Harry Stamper, oil driller from Earth going up to space to try and save the human race from a meteor that's getting ready to crash in Earth. And the whole movie, you see this diagram, and there's this zero barrier. Basically, when the meteor gets here, if it crosses this point, it's going to be so close to Earth, we can't blow this thing up and have the pieces fly past Earth without destroying the whole thing. We're getting past the zero barrier with this Los Angeles Lakers team. Like, you got LeBron James still out missing time because he's worried about re-aggravating that ankle. You've got this happening with Anthony Davis, and we see when this team loses those two tent poles, the whole thing falls apart. Like, I was a role player in my life when I played football. I knew exactly where I was on the totem pole of talent on our team. I'd show up, give great effort, be able to do a bunch of different things to try and help out the cause. But at the end of the day, if winning and losing came down to me, and we didn't have Zach Martin on the other side of that offensive line, if we weren't throwing the ball to Tyler Eifert or Golden Tate or Michael Floyd, we weren't winning much in the way of games. Montrezl Harrell, the rest of this team, Kyle Kuzma, deep down in places they probably talk about at parties, got to know that without these two in the fighting form we've seen them in the past, without a large break because of the pandemic heading into the postseason, this is going to look a lot more like the 2019 Lakers, the ones in LeBron's first year coming over from Cleveland that ended up missing the postseason. Like, that's what we've got in store with this group. And we know if LeBron James comes back and is healthy, he's going to be able to engineer something crazy. They're all good role players when you've got him around. But realistically, kind of like James Harden's hamstring, at this point in the season, can we really expect, under the rigors of playoff basketball, this to hold up? I'm not sure. Are we done expecting things from the Lakers at this point? Because I know, listen, for the league, your worst nightmare is probably that this Clippers team, who we've also left alone for the majority of this season, now has the juice, now has maybe been able to put some continuity together, that thing that they were missing last year, all the talent, all the ability they've got on those wings with Paul George, with Kawhi Leonard to switch, defend, the depth of that roster, on and on down the line, all the positive things we've ever said about them that didn't come to fruition last year because they were so banged up and didn't get that on the court. Like, now your worst nightmare as a league branding-wise is coming to a head where you could get something realistically that looks like, because of all the injuries, a Milwaukee Bucks, not Buccaneers, and Los Angeles Clippers final. Like, from a brand standpoint, from the NBA, that's a nightmare. But from a basketball standpoint, that's a pretty realistic outcome, especially when you've got guys like Anthony Davis leaving again last night with injury. Here was the Lakers star center on the injury that actually forced him out of the game.
The ankle was fine, so you know what? It wasn't bothering me. The back locked up pretty bad, so that's a little better now. See how it is tomorrow.
So test it out when you wake up and you kind of determine your status for the Portland game tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I should be good to go tomorrow based on how it's feeling now. But, yeah, I mean, still wake up and test it out. But my plan is to go tomorrow.
Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., are we past the zero barrier with the Lakers? Because it feels like we are, as much as we all believe in our heart of hearts in the power of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, because we had proof of concept last year, we knew all the advantages going into last season for LeBron and company that existed. And even when the worst thing happened during the year and we had the shutdown of the league, we all did quietly say from a basketball standpoint, man, for one of the oldest players in the league, this might be a benefit to have that time where we know he's going to be able to take care of his body and he's not going to have to pound it before heading into the bubble. But now we get all the way to the end of this, because they mentioned that game against the Trailblazers, quietly huge tonight. Now they're tied. They've split the season series so far 1-1. The Lakers are at the sixth spot ahead of Portland right now. And if they fall below that, now we're in play-in tournament territory. Now we're really past the zero barrier. And so with Anthony Davis in a position where we're not exactly sure what's going to happen, Dave McMenamin, our ESPN NBA reporter, said Anthony Davis listed as probable for the Blazers game by the Lakers. The team lists his calf strain as the reason. No mention of back spasms. The Lakers have updated that injury report and now list him as probable because of back spasms and not the calf strain. So you see, the target's kind of moving here. It gets kind of complicated. And so when I say Stephen A. Smith on First Take earlier today talking about his concern for the Lakers should they dip below that threshold, I kind of get it.
I'm scared for the Los Angeles Lakers. I want to put the basketball world on official notice. I don't even know if the Lakers are getting past the play-in game.
What?
I don't even know if the Lakers are playing the play-in game.
Wow.
They don't look good. They don't look good. They don't look good at all. Anthony Davis, listen. We all know when healthy, the guy is all world. But everything that can happen seems to happen to him. It was his calf injury. Then it looked like it was his ankle last night, early in the first quarter. And then after that, we hear that it's back spasms, for crying out loud. LeBron James comes back, he plays. He says he'll never be 100% again. I believe that's hyperbole. I don't believe it for 1 second. But he could be talking about, I'm not going to be 100% again this season.
And now that's probably hyperbole from Stephen A., but the fact that it's a conversation where you don't totally go, all right, come on, that's crazy, is emblematic of where the Lakers are right now. And for what it's worth, when you look at Anthony Davis, when he brings up the injury, when you look at LeBron James, it's one thing to beat up pickup trucks. Guys that are going to fill out your roster, the hard-working day-in and day-out players. Like I said, the role players. Those are pickup trucks. Those are mid-sized SUVs. You can beat those up a little bit, and it's not going to affect the way they function all that much. LeBron James and Anthony Davis are Ferraris. And when you nick up a Ferrari, when all of a sudden you damage that engine a little bit, now you're talking about high-functioning machinery that if you start affecting that, you're really going to affect the way this thing runs, because when it's supposed to be working at top speed, that thing's better than anything else you're going to find. How much should we still expect from the Lakers? At Chenay, at Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter. But coming up next, We've seen the NFL and the NBA going at it on the internet streets. An argument that started with some of our friends in the morning has now spilled over to the rest of us. Can't we all just get along when it comes to the hardest championship to win in sports? We'll get to that next. Chanay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chanay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Too damn Friday, and I hate to like be the one that has to bring the bad news in here, but we just heard about a very famous breakup. Nothing to do with the billionaires. Leave that alone. Those people, I'm going to save that one for them right now. I'm trying to not going to mention the relationship of anybody who's got enough money to make me go away. That's not how I'm going to get down. But instead, unfortunately here, as we're presented by Progressive Insurance, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You guys remember that couple that the internet found at an Arizona Diamondbacks game? Friend had knew his buddy was there on a date, used the Twitter account for the Arizona Diamondbacks, the regional sports television group that was broadcasting the game, to find his buddy on the Jumbotron. Well, apparently, for their third date, they decided to go to a Phoenix Coyotes game. Just try and make the run of the Arizona sports circuit. The Coyotes tweeted out, can confirm there was a third date. Hey, at Suns, want to make sure there's a fourth. Well, apparently we heard from the young man involved. It says, Twitter, I'm sorry, there is no fourth date. Sometimes you can meet the right person at the wrong time. At the end of the day, I just want her to be happy. To all the Arizona sports teams, you rock and have a fan for life. I'll never forget the incredibly kind gestures. Look at what the internet did. This normal dude just had to put out a statement on his breakup like he was Bill Gates. Like, this is incredible what we've been able to turn this into.
Dude entered the dating transfer portal.
Well, we don't know if he did or she did. Like, looking at this situation, that's a lot of pressure to be under when you're just getting to know someone, when now, all of a sudden, his buddy was the one that put them on blast to begin with.
He was hoping for playoff tickets, too, for the Suns.
I was just going to say, man, he's working down the stretch. Like, it's finally starting to get to an area where they might really get something out of this. Like, you got to stay together for the tickets at that point.
Luxury box for Cardinals this fall.
Man, see, this is one of those spots where you just got to come to an understanding. This is the public versus private. Publicly put out that united front. Privately, if you both want to restart the dating apps, go ahead. No one's going to take the time to dig on you when you're at this level. Really sad ending to that one. Hopefully they both find happiness. Chanay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. hanging out. We'll be joined by former Pittsburgh Steelers guard Ramon Foster in about 10 minutes. Ramon does a great job on the radio down in Nashville now, and I'll be very interested to talk to Ramon because we saw a funny thing happen the other day on Get Up. Kendrick Perkins, our ESPN NBA analyst, the conversation wasn't even supposed to go here, and yet somehow when he's sitting on air with Dan Orlovsky, with Ryan Clark, the conversation got spun to this thing we always do, the toughest championship to win in sports. And Perk, congratulations, by the way, on the brand new contract, decided that he was going to do what Perk does best and go off.
It's way harder to win a championship in the NBA than it is in the NFL.
Oh, my God.
Okay? Because you might get a first-round bye.
What?
And then you have to win three games.
That's not
to
the
secure
question.
A championship. In the NBA, you got to play four,
I'm gonna
seven
kill this,
games.
Perk.
And you got to win 16 games to secure a ring in the NBA. So I know I may ruffle some feathers, but that's what y'all brought me on for this morning.
Hey, God love him. So at ESPN Radio, this edition of Chanay and Golic Jr.'s weekend preview poll, brought to you by Geico, is asking which league is the hardest title to win. I'm excited to see how strong hockey Twitter comes on this, because the stock line of people that don't watch a lot of hockey until the postseason but then get there is toughest trophy to win in all of sports. And that way hockey fans never get mad at them, but they don't have to go any deeper than that on the hockey conversation. As it pertains to basketball and football, like, this ends up being some weird sort of toughness debate. Like, as far as an actual reason why, I thought Chris Long, former NFL defensive end, spelled it out pretty well in a tweet. More parity in the NFL. You think about the greatest modern dynasty and the Patriots went almost a decade in between championships, and we look at them like a model that's impossible to replicate. Injury being such a tough part of this, one and done. And I would say that's what really leads to it at the end, is this is a conversation about scarcity and violence. You have fewer games in the NFL, you have a smaller margin for error, and you have a sport that is inherently more violent. Now, the NHL certainly operates in that same playing field as far as the violence goes, but you've got the series bailout here where you can have one off night and come back. Hell, we went through some NBA postseasons when the Golden State Warriors were at the top of this, where it was just blowout after blowout, and you just would kind of trade which night you felt like giving effort on. Whereas in the NFL, there really isn't a week where you get to slack off, and especially not in some of these juggernaut divisions like the NFC West that we've built up here. But at Jhené, at Mike Golic Jr., and at ESPN Radio, toughest championship to win. Listen, we can't help ourselves. It's one of these arguments that I would like to say I'm above, but we all have that bit of competitive. That's why I'm very interested when we get Jhené Egbuemeke back here, two-time WNBA All-Star, to see if she succumbs to this too, because we all end up wanting to put on for our sport, right? Like, that's the basest level of this, is we all feel like this is an indictment on how tough our sport is. And that's the worst thing you can do, is insinuate that another sport isn't as tough. But I feel like that's what tends to happen here. And it shouldn't be an indictment of that. Just this one sport happens to be a lot physically more demanding, physically more violent, I should say, than the others in the non-hockey category. The NHL, you won't hear me say a bad word about on that front. The NBA is a very physical sport. It's not a violent sport. It's a physical sport. That does count for something. But we've seen the way you can conglomerate talent, the way one player can change so much in all of this. I just don't think there's a lot of logical argument in favor of that. But we'll see what you guys say. Right now, the NFL winning with 47.4% of the vote. Major League Baseball, not far behind at 23.7. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. We can get into plenty more of that with Ramon Foster coming up next, but also former teammate of his and a former Pittsburgh Steeler shot off a few on his way out of the door for his former team. We'll see if that's worth a fine next here after this word from Indeed. Now, the reasons to find your next hire with Indeed are starting to add up. Just look at the numbers. Instant Match searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver candidates whose resumes fit your job description. They have 135 skill tests that go beyond the resume to help you find the right candidates even faster. And, according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined. So, if you want to multiply your employees and subtract the hassles of finding them, visit Indeed.com/credit. The locker room fine system explained by an expert. Next, here on Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Are we past the point of no return with the Los Angeles Lakers? We'll talk to our friend George Sedano in about 10 minutes here, ESPN Los Angeles, our NBA reporter. Try and take the temperature as they got absolutely whooped by the Clippers last night. Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Join Nate Burleson as well as guests Justin Fields, Najee Harris, and Jamar Chase on the new Progressive YouTube series, Up All Night. Watch every episode exclusively on YouTube.com/Progressive. Now, we head out to the Goodyear Hotline where we're joined by Ramon Foster, co-host of J. Martin Ramon, down there in Nashville, former Pittsburgh Steeler, proud Tennessee alum. And Ramon, I got to ask you this. We were talking about this yesterday, and I feel like you of all people would really have a good pulse on this. We talked about having that fight friend in the group, that one person that you got to worry about in any circumstance, whether or not they're just going to start throwing down with somebody. When you were in Pittsburgh, who was the guy that you, on or off the field, had to worry about the most as like the fight guy in the group?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think everybody know my answer, but it's Marquise. Especially Marquise Pouncey. Early on, for sure. Later in his career, man, you couldn't get him to do anything. But he was a no-nonsense type of dude. And you know when you got a twin and you've always been around your brother and just everything else, like, that dude, it was him for the most part.
Yeah, you know what? Can understand that one. Again, my brief run-in with you guys here. Again, I spent a little bit of time with Ramon and the rest of that group in Pittsburgh and got to see under the hood on that. And that's where I want to take people now, though, Ramon, because I'm very interested. One of your former line mates, a guy that Pittsburgh knew very well in the last few years, and Alejandro Villanueva, recently signed with the Baltimore Ravens. And I saw people giving you a lot of grief, Ramon, for going out and supporting him as a Pittsburgh Steeler player for someone in the division. Can you kind of explain to people about that bond and why it's going to transcend any sort of player movement there?
You know, I've always been like, okay, I'm down for my guys getting as much as they can, all as they can, when they can, because football is such a quick business. Like, you're in and you're out. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. When it ends, it's done. And the business side of it is what it is. Like, Al was in a position to where Pittsburgh simply didn't want him back. They got two dudes, Chooks and Zach Banner, who's there, they're trying to groom up to be the next wave. You know how it is. It's one of those positions where it's like, all right, your time is up. Let's move on. Our position was, look, Baltimore's coming to me with a really good offer, and it's kind of hard for me to turn it down. I don't care how much, you know, I love the last organization. I got to go do a job because I'm paid to do that job, and I love playing football. And that's where he was. And it's hard sometimes to get people to understand that, look, at the end of the day, I'm a guy that's trying to provide for my family. And when an opportunity presents itself, no matter what the loyalty is to the people I love in that room, my business side of it is what's going to take over more than anything. And we as players always get burned for the most part by fans, because fans are always loyal to the team because the team never changes over. And for those reasons, people feel emotionally, or they feel betrayed by guys that go to other teams. And I just had to stick up for my guy because, Mike, you know, like anybody else, offensive linemen, we really don't get a whole lot of praise. Only time we get to get a chance to control something is if we can control the run game. Or, you know, we get our name called whenever we get a penalty like that. That's it. So a guy like Al, man, I think, honestly, he was just taking advantage of the situation. All the stuff that he was saying and doing, it was really in a laughing matter, because no matter what you say about Juju and the TikTok and this and that about run first in Baltimore, like, the thing about football, Mike, you're going to have to pay those bills when they come due. So if he wasn't joking, guess what? You get an opportunity to see Pittsburgh two times a year.
Ramon Foster with us here, former Pittsburgh Steeler and co-host of J. Martin Ramon. And that's the interesting part of this too, Ramon. You mentioned offensive linemen, largely out of sight, out of mind when it comes to making waves in these kind of ways. And I saw Al's comments, and I was wondering, Ramon, because for anyone that's not aware, most teams, most position groups, and especially offensive lines, usually have a fine system. Is Al speaking out like that a fine-worthy offense, Ramon, inside an offensive line room that you're a part of?
Oh, internally, it's definitely fine-worthy, simply because you bring a heat to a group that don't necessarily want it. You know what I'm saying? But the older guy, I mean, the guy that plays with, you know, played with Al, and know that I know his sarcasm. I know exactly what it means. That, you know, people trash him for saying what he said about Juju, but you got to remember, Al taught Juju how to drive. He also taught him how to fish, and he's also been in multiple TikTok videos with him. But as far as internally, yeah, absolutely. We're going to have to tab that up, considering he got paid by Baltimore, too. So, Al, we appreciate that fund right there.
There we go. So you got to contribute to the group fund. I'm glad we were able to settle this, and I'm glad you provided some background to that relationship so that people can stop making something out of nothing. But, Ramon, on the business side of football that you brought up, I do want to get into what we saw with Juwan James out in Denver, because this offseason in the NFL, we saw the PA and the players say, we're not coming in. We don't feel comfortable coming in to work out at the facilities with the pandemic ongoing. Juwan James ruptures his Achilles working out away from the facility, and the NFL sends a pretty clear shot, sends out a memo mentioning him by name, saying working out away from the facility makes this a non-football injury and affects his ability to collect on that $10 million injury guarantee. Ramon, we saw the PA come back with a pretty strong shot. How surprised were you that the NFL decided to use this instance to make a stand when we're talking about health and safety in the middle of a global pandemic?
I think it's bad optics by the NFL. But the thing is, just the NFL is also a machine to where it can kind of control the narrative of what's being said. But this is the thing that I've seen a guy in a very similar situation do this, rupture his Achilles away from the facility. And I've also seen a team like Pittsburgh Steelers, they've honored his contract regardless. Guys don't train in their NFL cities. I think, honestly, this is a reaction to guys, I'm saying quotation marks, boycotting OTAs in phase one and phase two, simply because they don't want to be in those cities. The NFL is changing. The pandemic showed us this, that, look, you have an opportunity to still put a good product out on the field without having to be in your NFL city all the time. Where this comes from, in my opinion, Mike, this is my opinion, okay, is I think that the coaches are a little bit pissed about what's going on. Because if they're not able to coach their guys up, then what are they doing in the offseason? It's not coaching. You know, like I know that an offensive line coach, offensive lineman coach wants to see you. The wide receiver coach wants to see you. The offensive coordinator wants to see the quarterback going to the wide receivers, giving the ball to the running back. That's just how it goes. I think the way the CBA was set up, ownership kind of let the PA do what they want to as far as time in and out of the building, and they forgot about the coaches. So now the NFL is at a point to where they're saying, hey, look, we got to reel this back in, because if we don't, we're not going to have the hot spots when it comes to showing OTA clips, showing guys doing phase one, phase two, and minicamp. That's where they are right now. I think the coaches, honestly, have put the NFL feet to the fire, say, get us as many guys as you can back in this building, because why am I here if I can't coach anybody?
It's probably the group we forget about most when it comes to these NFL versus the player type beefs is the coaches and which side they can at times find themselves on. It's fascinating, Ramon, and we know this probably isn't going to be the end of this conversation as we go further and further along into, like you said, the multiple phases of the offseason getting ready for NFL football. You guys make sure you check out J. Martin Ramon. Follow him on Twitter, at Ramon Foster, former Pittsburgh Steeler. Great, kind enough to give us some time today. Ramon, we appreciate you, brother.
Anytime, Mike. I appreciate it.
Ramon Foster joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. And I'm glad he said that stuff about Al and Juju. Like, that's a close-knit Pittsburgh Steelers locker room. Again, I got to spend my rookie year training camp going in, seeing behind the scenes there. And I wasn't there for long, but Ramon's a guy I've stayed in touch with since then. Like, that is an incredibly close-knit group and close-knit team inside that locker room. And so you hear things like Al was the one that taught Juju how to fish and how to drive, and you quickly realize, all right, maybe at times we forget there are a lot of things that we don't know. But at Chenae, at Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter, you can vote in our poll at ESPN Radio as well. Hardest sport to win a championship in. We'll see what George Sedano thinks, and where we need to put the Lakers' expectations now as they get set for what is actually a huge matchup with seventh seed Portland Trail Blazers tonight. Imagine telling yourself that at the beginning of the season. We'll get to that next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Chenae going to be back in the saddle with us, as she always is, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern. Excited to get her on here. We got some rookie quarterback superlatives we're going to get to. I have, like, no concept of time like everyone else during the course of this pandemic year and plus right now, the overtime it feels like we're in. And so I completely forgotten, like, May is graduation season for everyone right now. We're getting ready to see all these people, high school, college kids, get ready to walk, do their thing. And so we thought we would get in the spirit, especially since we got kids making the transition from the college game to the pro game. But before we get to that, we head out to the Goodyear Hotline, where we're joined by George Sedano, our ESPN NBA reporter. You can also hear him on 710 ESPN Los Angeles. Kind enough to give us some time now. And George, before we get into anything going on with the Lakers, we saw Pert get everyone riled up the other day on Get Up, talking about the NBA is the hardest championship to win in sports. You spend your time covering a lot of different sports, see a lot of them up close and personal. Do you agree with him?
I don't, simply because in a seven-game series in a sport like that, where you have that little amount of guys on the floor, right? You only have 10 at a time between the two teams. One guy can make such a huge impact that over a span of a seven-game series, more times than not, the best team wins. Now, look, of course, there's outliers to that stuff, but there is more predictability in the NBA than any of the other sports.
Yeah, I've agreed. I've always said there's greater continuity year over year, too. You can count on guys being and looking like what you've seen from them more often than not than a sport like maybe football, where physically so much can happen to a guy in a year's time there. So you mentioned one player being able to affect so much, though. We see the Lakers now continuing to struggle, losers of seven of their last nine, flirting with the play-in now. George, are we at the zero barrier where we've got to really downgrade expectations for this team, or is it as simple as LeBron James, back healthy enough, can save them from this?
I think it's more of the latter still. Like, look, man, I've covered this dude for a long time, okay? I saw him at 25 in his prime make the move to Miami, take all the heat he took, pun intended, win two championships, and then obviously then in Cleveland and come here and win another one, okay? So I'm a guy that's going to ride or die with him until the wheels fall off. And maybe we're starting to see the car having some real issues, right? But I've seen him come back from stuff way too many times to not sit here and say, you know what? I'm not going to doubt him, because the man puts more into his body than anyone I've ever seen in any sport I've ever covered. Even when I covered the NFL before I covered the NBA or college football, I just have never seen someone know his body like this guy knows his body. So I still think, even in the play-in situation, Gojo, that, okay, they come out of it. They're the seventh seed. Phoenix doesn't scare me. Like, DeAndre Ayton's still not a great defender. I mean, Booker's great. Chris Paul's great. But outside of Chris Paul and Jay Crowder, there's a bunch of dudes that haven't played in the playoffs. And then with the Jazz, they've yet to really prove anything as good as they've been. So, you know, as long as they avoid the Clippers, to be honest, in that first potential matchup, I feel good about the Lakers.
Janae Gold Jr. talking to George Sedano of ESPN LA. Should the Clippers be the favorite in the West right now?
Man, I think so. That's actually going to be a big topic of discussion on the afternoon show I'm on in LA today. And yeah, look, this Ty Lue group is different than the Doc Rivers group. I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from Doc. Doc's a great coach, but Ty took a different approach with this team. And Ty has notoriously been someone that, as the season goes on, he implements more and more and more. He spoon feeds you. And we're starting to see this now. They've won 13 of their last 17 games. They're getting healthy. They're managing Kawhi the right way, right? They've managed PG the right way. Beverly's back. Rondo has been a contributor. Even DeMarcus Cousins has come back here and made a contribution with this particular team, okay? So I like what they've been able to accomplish this season, and I do feel like they're the team that in their heart of hearts feels like, I don't care if the Lakers are healthy, we can beat those guys. They absolutely believe that they can match up against them, and honestly, I think that's a toss-up series even if everyone's healthy.
George, we only got about a minute left here, but you mentioned LeBron James knowing his body, but even he may be getting to that point where he's got to take better care. We had so much conversation about LeBron James. Should he rest more during the regular season? Do you think that's something he takes into account in subsequent seasons coming up because of what he's experienced this year?
Of course, you got to, because the biggest predictor of future injury is past injury, and now we're talking two out of the last 3 years. So absolutely. And look, he's always going to take a measured approach. In the middle of it all, he's going to want to do what he needs to do to get the job done. But I do think he always analyzes the way the season went and then looks to see how he can make certain adjustments, for sure.
You can see him all over ESPN, Around the Horn, The Jump. You can listen to him on 710 ESPN Los Angeles as well. George Sedano giving us some time today. We appreciate you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Gojo, same here, man. Have a great weekend. Thanks again.
George Sedano, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And the Clippers are going to become fascinating. I've said, well, it might be a brand nightmare for the NBA to wind up with a Clippers-Bucks finals as we get down the stretch of the regular season. Health in professional sports probably dictates more than any other factor when you look at the end of these seasons. The wars of attrition, especially in a year where we had such a quick turnaround. And the Clippers, who were the team that probably got hurt the most by that, literally and metaphorically, last year in the way that it sliced up any chance of continuity, may be finding the benefits now on the other side of this. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. But coming up next, we're going to get Janae Agumake back here. She's in Los Angeles. She's playing for the Sparks. She's seeing these groups up close and personal. And so I want to ask her, in addition to the toughest championship to win in sports, like we're asking on ESPN Radio, can the Lakers salvage this through the strength and effort of one man? We'll get to that next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.